Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on heist movies. I am Noah, and I'm here with...
Kayla?
Yeah.
The one and only.
The one and only. How was your week?
There's not much to tell. I go to work, I come home, I watched three movies that we'll be talking about.
You did,
I played some Yoshi's Crafted World.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much my week. I didn't really do, like, literally anything.
Same. So, I guess that's all the banter we're gonna have for this episode, because we have nothing interesting going on.
We need, like, let me Google icebreaker questions for...
Podcast?
Friends?
For friends.
Okay. I'm going to scroll down. All right, wait, give me a number between 1 and, like, 200.
69.
Oh, my God. What would your superpower be and why?
Oh, I hate this question.
You're the one who picked it.
So I usually say teleportation, because that's usually the one.
It's most practical.
That, like... I would just love to have.
Yeah, because... you could go anywhere.
Exactly, because like flying would be cool, but would I really want to fly everywhere?
Travel.
It'd be really great. That's the one I would pick, because I hate like having to drive places and plan out driving times. Like, oh well, it's 30 minutes to work, but I gotta get in the car 15 minutes early because I gotta be. So it's like just snap your fingers, you're there. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think if I didn't choose that one, like to pick something else. I would say something like either like having a photographic memory or like being able to heal myself. So like just being healthy all the time, never getting sick, never having allergies, like
just
a fully healthy immune system. So one of those two, if I didn't choose teleportation.
Right.
I would love to have a photographic memory, which would come in handy if you were playing poker.
Well, would it really?
It would, because you can count the cards.
I mean, I guess kind of. But so they do play poker kind of in these movies, especially like the first and third one. The second one is like the outlier, but poker is a big player in the first and third. This is the Oceans trilogy. If you didn't read the title of the episode, that's what we're talking about today. This is another edition of We've Never Seen, where we take popular movies that we've never seen and then we watch them.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really crazy concept. Really original.
Revolutionary.
This was funny because I was watching just originally Ocean's 11. Now they're on HBO Max, so it was kind of a joke on me. But they were leaving Netflix in February. I probably should have just looked up if they were coming somewhere else, but whatever, besides the point. And then you messaged me and you're like, wait, have you never seen these either? We should do an episode on them.
Yeah, because we have a list of movies and for some reason these were not on our list. And I think I saw you logged the first one and you didn't log it as like a rewatch. And I was like, wait, I haven't seen that either. And so I texted you and I was like, oh my God, we gotta do a trilogy of all three Oceans movies.
I think I figured you had seen them because you're such a big heist movie fan that I was like, well, this is probably a given, but you know, I guess not. So this is exciting because now we get to talk about one of your favorite genres.
Yeah, heists.
Of film.
And life.
And life. Heists are just a great life
genre.
And
life.
A great genre of life. So this is a remake. The first one, we're going to talk about them in chronological order, believe it or not. So the first one, it's a remake of the 1960 film of the same name. It has Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. The Rat Pack, if you will.
Yeah, which I have not seen, but...
Same. But the story is kind of similar to the 2001. So they do rob five casinos, but the overall like narrative and the heist and everything is completely different because they're like all like veterans or something. So it's completely different than the movie. So really, they just take like a bunch of good looking guys and rob casinos. And that's the only crossover of the movies. Interesting casting what ifs that I found. Luke and Owen Wilson were going to play the twins characters, but they had to decline because of the Royal Tenenbaums, which I guess if you're going to decline for a movie, might as well be the Royal Tenenbaums. It's like not like they, it's not like Owen Wilson declined for Cars 2, so pretty good for him. Also, like, we had Mike Myers, Bruce Willis. This is like various roles. The Coen brothers, Ralph Fiennes. There was a lot of like consideration. This is like a pretty huge move. I mean, obviously from the cast, but like even like all the names that I saw for like considerations were huge. So it's really interesting how high profile this movie they wanted it to be from the outgo, which I guess was the point because the 60s version was like all the high profile actors too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone that's in it is big.
Yeah, yeah. Even like Matt Damon, like has, I mean, he has a bigger role as the movies go on, but definitely in the first one, it's like a medium sized role at most, you know, and he's Matt Damon. So it's wild. And it only has an $85 million budget.
I read that they took salary cuts to be able to make it happen.
Because everyone loves Steven Soderbergh. Yeah,
like,
him.
They believed in the movies so much that they took salary cuts. No, I think it was just to be able to bring the budget down to make what they wanted to make. And it seems like it was just all around a good time being on this set and in this movie. Yeah. So, from all the, because
Steven,
like,
Soderbergh is the best. He's amazing.
But, like, even the behind-the-scenes stories I read of them, like, goofing around, and they all got to stay at the casino, and they, like, gambled in their off hours and
So fun.
Yeah, it's the dream.
We love just hanging out with some good looking middle-aged men. They looks like a great time. I would have loved to be there. $38 million in the opening weekend, which is a lot, and $450 million in overall, which it was the fifth highest grossing film of 2001, which sounds low, but that's under Shrek, Monsters, Inc., Lord of the Rings 1, and then Harry Potter 1. So, like, that was a big year.
Massive year.
For movies. The Jurassic Park 3, which, I mean, that's not, like, a great movie, but it's Jurassic Park, so. Do you know that they, Empire Magazine, ranked Ocean's 11 the 500th best film on the list of 500 greatest movies of all time?
Wow,
so it
really
just made the
snuck
cut
in there.
It was right. It really heisted that spot. It like
heisted its way in.
Heisted. Is that a verb? Heisted.
I don't think so, but we could make it one.
What is the action form of heist? Like, what is that?
I don't know. Pull a heist.
I guess I like heisted
steal
better. Like,
thievery.
I just like the idea of like them being on the phone with the casino guy and George Clooney just going, "You've just got heisted," and then slam the phone.
You've just been oceaned. I feel like that's what it's gotta be. You've just been
oceaned. You've been oceaned. Oh my gosh. I wonder if Frank Ocean likes this movie.
I wonder if no, it's dumb. I was gonna say, I wonder if the ocean likes this movie.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder if anyone's watched this movie on the ocean and the ocean has been like, wow, they're watching Oceans. All right, let's move on.
You watch
please
it on the ocean with Frank Ocean. The synopsis, I found this one from film_fan on IMDb. Really coming through for us.
Very nice.
This was a great one. I read through multiple and he had the best. Do you want to read this one here?
Sure. Danny Ocean wants to score the biggest heist in history. He combines an 11-member team, including Frank Catton, Rusty Ryan, and Linus Caldwell. Their target? The Bellagio, the Mirage, and the MGM Grand. All casinos owned by Terry Benedict. It's not going to be easy as they plan to get in secretly and out with $150 million. Yeah, so basically our main dude, Danny, gets out of prison.
Mr. Ocean.
Yeah, Mr. Ocean, which is like the coolest name. Could you imagine
really
just
is
being called Ocean? Wow.
Yeah. What, iconic. My dream would be to have a last name that is so cool that people don't call you by your first name.
Yeah.
That would be so cool. Like, so good.
People did that for me in high school, called me by my last name, but they pronounced it wrong.
Call Me By My Last Name, the sequel. the very anticipated sequel.
They
to
never,
Call Me By Your Name.
It wasn't ever right. So, like, they pronounced my name wrong, and that was what they called me.
Oh, rip. Like, yeah. Fanoof?
Fanoof.
Fanoof.
And then they would say Fanoofaloofer. It's a weird time.
This is fantastic.
No, but great. Ocean would be a really cool name. Maybe I should just change my name to Ocean.
Maybe that you could do that. We could both do that. This would be a great. This is December movie. I think this is a great December movie.
Yeah, like a very good Christmas watch with the fam, like a holiday movie to go
so
see.
Good. Yeah, like a very Knives Out vibe with this one.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
Like,
I get that vibe. So the second main person is Rusty, and they're basically the team leaders. Rusty's played by Brad Pitt, and Danny Ocean's played by George Clooney. And they kind of buddies, they put together this team and sort of organize and work this heist. And then the different members of the team do different things, obviously. So
they can pull off the heist.
We've got like Matt Damon, Don Cheadle, Julia Roberts, Casey Affleck, Scott Kane.
Dude, this
Elliot
movie
Gold,
was
like...
I didn't know how many people were in this movie. It was like every scene in the first half, I was like, oh my word, this person's here too?
Yeah, so it's a good setup. It's a long setup because basically we have to go through each person that's like joining the team.
Yeah.
So it starts by going through Ocean and then Rusty and then Frank and then like all these other people, just keeps going down the line, all 11 of them. And we get a little sort of cut scene for each of them to kind of explain who they are, what their role is, etc., what their special talent is, why they're on the team.
If you listen to the Justice League episode, Zach brought up this movie as a counter to Justice League, where Justice League did a terrible job of introducing... It's all a bunch of like really important characters in its runtime. And this movie has to introduce 11 characters, and I think it does it pretty well.
And I think it benefits the trilogy as a whole because once they've already introduced them, it sets up the rest of the three movies where, I mean, the rest of the first movie and the second two, where you can just really invest in the characters and develop them because you already have the groundwork. Yeah. Even if it is a little, I think it's a little longer than a normal introduction would be.
Yeah.
But I think it works, you know, for what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like split into two halves, I feel like. So you've got like the first half where it's like getting the team together. And then the second half where it's like, all right, heist time. And the heist is long in this. It's like an hour at least,
I would
say.
Which is so good. It's good. I mean, the heist should be most of the movie, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's, I think, the problem with a lot of heist movies is, like, it's all the buildup. And then they're like, all right, let's go in and get the diamond, and then we're done.
Yeah, and then usually, like, the final half of the movie is them just, like, running away and then getting shot. Which is so annoying. My God.
Yeah. Also, before we go further, we will be spoiling all three of these movies, just so you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Going forward, let's cut the spoiler line here. The curtain has been torn. So, the heist. How would you, like, this isn't rating the movie, just rating the heist itself. So, like, the planning, the execution.
I think it's pretty good. It's a pretty good heist. I think it's got enough moving parts to make it interesting and, you know, mostly believable for the most part.
And keep you guessing, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like you kind of are, you're kind of on track with it until, like, the quote-unquote, like, twist, I guess, where Andy Garcia's character, like, finds them on the camera monitors or whatever. But then they do the fake out thing where, like, actually, we made you think that we were losing, but we weren't losing.
Of course, right?
Yeah.
Which you expect.
But which is, they do it really well here because it's, like, pretty long. It's drawn out pretty long, I feel like. It's about, like, 15 minutes where you're kind of just like, okay, I guess maybe something's going wrong. But then they kind of, this is the only kind of movies where I like when people explain the exposition because it's like, wow. They're so smart. This is so fun.
Yeah.
I love when people explain this in like horror movie, like mystery thriller type stuff. You know, I always like when directors are like, look, this is my cool plan. We talked about this in Game Night too, the last episode, where in the end credits, they kind of show all the plans of the game night. And it's like, this is how smart I was. And like, sometimes it can be a little pretentious, but also like they worked hard on this. Mm-hmm. They got to show the heist.
I do think the stakes could have been a little higher. Like, I think we could have, you know, someone could have gotten shot. Just kidding.
Yeah, I mean...
No, but, like, I don't actually mean that. Because I like that there's not really guns. Because I think that those kind of heists are more clever. Because thieves who just walk in and are just like, pop, pop, pop. And then they rob it. It's like, you're not a thief. You're just a cowardly criminal. Like, you're not clever. But I think that, like, there could have been a little more danger involved. Because it kind of just felt like they were going from thing to thing. And there was maybe a little bit of danger where, like, they had the lasers. And you're like, oh, they're
I love laser
stuff. But, like, they go down. I'm talking about the scene where they're in, like, the elevator shaft. Uh-huh. And the lasers. And Matt Damon and George Clooney, like, fly down, and then their things kind of catch, and they're like, oh crap, cut them. And then it's like, and it's like, that could have been, the suspense could have been built more in scenes like that.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think it bothered me, because I just really liked how light it was. That was like my favorite, like how fun it was. This is like one of the, I feel like I just haven't seen a movie that's this fun in so long. Maybe I've just been watching too many.
Yeah, maybe you've been watching the wrong movies.
No, but I think though that this is like it's really light. The script is just so funny. There's so many funny lines. Like it had me laughing like every like 5 minutes. There was like a new line. I'm like, wow, that was really funny. I could do that as my Letterboxd review. I don't know. It just was. It's so clever and quick. So light on its feet. And I mean, they do try to add. I think like the more suspense they add is more through the romance with Julia Roberts, because like they add her in as like the like relational aspect, so like there's a little more stakes involved. But that didn't work. That probably was what worked the least for me, just because they don't really develop their relationship much outside of just like a couple conversations. We don't really see any about how their relationship was before this. We just kind of see the aftermath. So I get what they were doing with that, where it's like adding in and they do this in the second one too, where they're kind of adding in a depth or a relationship to one character to have a sense of, I don't know, like tie you, like make you more invested. But that's not, I was more invested personally just by like the heist itself and them, these guys just getting their money. I was just more excited about that. I was like, yeah, you can have, Julia Roberts is like second after all of the heist stuff. I just didn't think it worked as well, but I guess that's what they would say, the writers, like, that's how that was the extra suspense, was the relationship aspect. So, overall, I think this is really good. I gave this, like, a 9 out of 10, because I think this is, like, for what this movie is, this is, like, basically, for me, the best that this can get. This is, again, this reminds me a lot of Knives Out, not in as much genre, but in tone a lot. Just like this kind of movie, this is like for me top tier, like fun big blockbuster action movie star. We don't get a lot of it either, so it was really fun to kind of like watch it and be like, ah man, these kind of movies are really good.
Yeah.
Okay, any thoughts before we move on to the sequel of Ocean's 11, which, surprise, is Ocean's 12?
Not because there's an added person, but because
No, there is, I think.
Yeah, but they don't, like, it's not like they're making, but they're not reference, like, added to the team. Yeah, like, yeah. They're not making reference to 12 people.
Yeah, it's like there kind of is, and then in 13 it's even less so. Like, they try to add someone in, and they kind of do. Like, they technically, if you will go, like, who is the 12th person, there's, like, an answer, but it doesn't really feel like there's an extra person. Definitely too, with the way that the movies worked out, the plot is a little weird, but we'll get to that. I did find out that the script was reworked when they found out Julia Roberts was pregnant with twins, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it works.
So this was a little more, $110 million, but it still made $362 million at the box office. 10th highest grossing film of 2004. So not bad by any means. This is the worst rated film of the trilogy. It has a 34% on Rotten Tomatoes. Entertainment Weekly said it was one of the worst 25 worst sequels ever made.
It's not great.
But Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4, so you know it's got its supporters.
It has good parts, but
this is one of those movies where you're like, you either love it or hate it. I mean, I don't really love it or I guess I that's wrong because I don't.
I was gonna say I don't love it or hate it. Like, I thought it was enjoyable, but I wasn't like, oh, it was as good as the first or as good as the third. Like, it's right, the weakest right. of the three. I don't mm-hmm. think it's a bad movie, but I don't think it's necessarily good either.
I don't know if I'd say it's the weakest of the three, but it's definitely not as good as the first. It's like a very steep step down, but I do applaud them for, it is very different from the first. So it is kind of cool to see like that they tried different things. It just doesn't always work. But we have another synopsis here for Ocean's 12. This is also from Film_Fan, who is coming through again with the great synopsises. They pulled off one of the biggest heists ever, and now they have another job to complete. Ocean's 11 all thought they would be able to enjoy their money, but someone has other plans. Terry Benedict is still fuming after losing his money and wants it back. The team now have the job of getting all the money they spent back or risk being thrown in jail. How are they going to get it all back? By pulling off another amazing plan. Kind of. They kind of do. They kind of don't. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing with this. It's not really like a heist in this
Yeah,
film.
There's just like, a lot of it is very disconnected. And it feels like they had a lot of big ideas and it just did not follow through at all or not translate well to make it seem anything like the first one, I guess.
Yeah, I just never felt like I had a grasp on what they were trying to do or what the main thrust of the movie was. It was just kind of always like switching gears or switching motives for the characters. I think this takes what the end of the 11th of the end of the first one. It's not the 11th one. The end of the first one where it's like, oh, you think they're losing, but they're actually winning. This one does that like 10 times where it's like, you think they're losing, but oh, they actually knew what they were doing. You think they're losing. Oh, wait, but they've got a little trick up their sleeve. It's like, okay, you can only do that joke so many times before it's like, okay, we understand that it's going to look like they're down and out, but they're really up and in, I guess. Because it's like, and it's so like with the Julia Roberts thing, it just feels like they're not as like, it's not as slick as the first one.
Yeah, then they kind of throw in this other guy, the Night Fox, who's a clown, and try to make him seem like a threat, and this guy's clearly just a clown. Yeah, that whole Night Fox thing didn't really work for me, where this guy is like supposedly this legendary thief. And then he just is kind of like...
Not really. I mean, and they kind of like gloss over it where that's like, okay, this is how he stole it. But it's like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel... He doesn't feel like a believable villain. He's never like a threat in my...
Yeah. In my mind. And then that whole... There's this whole scene where he... there's these lasers and he's like... Oh, yeah. Dancing basically, and the whole time all I could think about was this guy doing this and then them like adding the lasers in later, because obviously the lasers are not in the cut. And so I'm That's just so like funny. Imagining him doing these like handstands and like spinning around, basically breakdancing across this floor.
Wow.
And to us, we see the lasers that he's avoiding, but like when they're filming that, it's just like a blank space.
I would
so
have
that
loved
was
to
kind
see
of funny
the raw
to me.
Footage. Yeah.
I also think like this guy's supposedly the best, one of the best thieves in the world.
Yeah,
and like,
at least the second best, you know.
Yeah, at least like, you know, this legendary person, And really all we see him do is, like, climb a wall. And then he's also just, like, super arrogant, but in a way that's, like, not smart arrogant. Because yeah. I feel like there's a difference in arrogance. And this guy, obviously, he's not the greatest thief in the world and just thinks that he is. But the way that all these other people act like he's this, like, good thief, and I'm like, you don't know thieves, because he obviously is, like, this annoying, he's not very smart, he's just...
Mm-hmm. Just not great, yeah. And he, I feel like the acting, I mean, the, not, the casting choice maybe wasn't right either. I just don't, his character just didn't work at all for me.
I think it brought down the movie. That whole, like, plot line brought down the movie. I like the idea of them, like, competing against someone else, but it's like they're trying to steal this egg, and then they're also trying to, like, beat this other guy, and then they play some, like, really random flashbacks that, like, didn't work, where they're, like, talking to the Lamarck, and then they're on the train, and it's like, what actually even happened? Like, you guys didn't really plan anything. Like, why did...
Well, the final heist I thought was cool with the train thing, with the backpack. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, but you don't need 11 of them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't need 11 people to do that.
I mean,
like, they only use,
but it
like...
was fun.
No,
but I like
no,
that scene.
I like it, but what I'm saying is that they didn't... The whole team didn't really do
you
anything.
You probably needed, like, 5 people to do that,
because
you
yeah,
need Matt Damon.
Yeah, because it was, like, the rest
two,
of the team was
fighting.
In prison most of the time. And then,
yeah.
like, fake in
prison. Yeah, Matt Damon's mom bailed him out.
But, like, it was so split up that I think one of the elements that brought it down was just losing that kind of team aspect.
Mm.
Because even though they kind of, like, were a team, they weren't all really there together doing things
yeah,
together.
And they didn't use all their skills either. As, like, the first one, you had, like, the car guy.
Yeah.
And the guy. They didn't really use all their skills to
because
the
because that's, like,
the
where the first movie really thrives, is on these, like, different characters coming together. And I feel like this movie lost... Because, like, each of the different little heists, because there's a couple separate... sections,
like, little ones.
Were all good, but felt like it would be better if it was a more cohesive whole, because the little ones were kind of all just the same people, like Linus and Ocean and whatnot.
And like I said, you just always are watching them fail, and even though you know they're, like, kind of in on it, it's just not as fun to watch them, like, fake fail. Like, with Julia Roberts, it's like, this is cool, but it's kind of lame to watch them get caught. Even though
yeah,
I know,
like, you know that it's fake,
caught.
But also, yeah, it's just a, I don't think it was, like, fully worked through when they made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like you said, it's like they had so many little ideas, like, let's just throw them all together.
Yeah, it felt like a first draft, almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it just, and even at the end, like, there were things that I was like, I feel like there were a couple plot holes, you know, where I was like, that.
With the first one, it wasn't, though.
Yeah, like, there were just things that I was like, that didn't really make sense. Like, yeah, and the whole, like, holographic plate thing, I thought that
yeah,
would
that
be
was, cool. I was like, okay.
Like, they made this big right. deal about it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, actually. And then they kind of just put it there, and it just, like, flickered, and then I was like, that was it.
Yeah. It was funny, though. I think it was fun. The whole, like, Julia Roberts bit, I thought was pretty funny.
I thought that was funny. I thought
that
it
was
worked.
Like very, very, like, fourth wall breaking.
I thought it was clever. Very self aware. I think it worked. Stuff like that doesn't always work, but I think in this they made it work.
Yeah, because this movie, we haven't mentioned it, but this one is, like, a very tongue in cheek. Where the first one is, like, I mean, it's fun. But it's very, like, a straightforward, like, heist, like, action movie,
mm-hmm.
you know? This one is, like, maybe, like, irreverent isn't the right word, but it's a lot more...
It's almost like they had so much success coming off the first one that mm-hmm. they were like, oh, we really need to, like, dig into this and tried to do something that it wasn't. And then got caught up in that. Like, that's kind of what it feels like in some of those moments that didn't work as well, is that they just got in over their head trying to, like, show up the first one and ended up falling short because of that.
Yeah, like, a little overambitious.
Because I think if, like, this one was, like, refined more in some of those transitional moments, I think it would be, like, really, really good. but because it's just like a very different sequel. It almost feels like a TV show that was directed and edited by different people. Like the different parts of the film, because it's kind of like sectioned off into different pieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feel like almost they were done by different people, and those people kind of just didn't talk and were like, this is what we're doing in our part. And the other person's like, okay, cool, we'll go off that. Because it was like close, but not quite connected.
Yeah, even the tones, you're right. And like with the romantic element with Brad Pitt, which is like basically the same plot line that they did with George Clooney, but now with Brad Pitt. It just doesn't really work. And
like,
you obviously know she's going to be the daughter of the guy. Yeah.
His character is not straight. I'm just going to throw it out there. Like, just the way they, like, present his character and his personality, he's just not a straight man. And it felt like that
He's definitely at least bi. You know, the hair. He has the hair. The hair is a dead giveaway.
I just think that him and George Clooney in a relationship would have been much more compelling than this random detective.
I think so too.
Lady.
That would have been great. And they could have definitely done it in Ocean's 13 because Julia Roberts isn't even in this one.
Yeah.
So they could
like,
have been like, they got divorced and it's like this nice, like,
yeah, it was
they
one
finally
of those things
discover their love.
Where Julia Roberts, they had to write her character less because of her being pregnant and whatnot, and so she wasn't in the whole movie, and then they were like, oh, well, what should we do because we need, like, another woman, and so then they had to, like, tried to fill that gap with, you know, this other detective.
I do think this one is better. I mean, because I assume one of the complaints maybe of the first one was, like, the only woman role was, like, the damsel in distress role because Julia Roberts did, like, nothing in the first one. So I'm assuming, like, they were kind of trying to do that in this one, give, like, more women roles that, like, had a part in the plot, which they both did. But I just don't think, like, it worked in the story because it just felt like kind of shoved in, like, all right, time for the romantic plot element, which isn't really anywhere in the 13th one. I keep saying the 13th one. Okay. In the third one, I just keep reading 13 because this one, it's all about the love of the team, the love of the game.
Yeah. I think it works better when
the
that's
hatred
the
of
angle.
Al Pacino.
Definitely that's a better angle for them to take, is like this brotherhood that they basically have.
Yeah. And this one goes a lot back to like the roots of the first one where they're back at the casinos. You honestly could probably have rewritten a couple parts of this one and have it just be the sequel.
I think you could just cut out the other one entirely, apart from like trying to figure out how they sort of reconcile a little bit with the other Terry
right
Benedict.
I mean, because the little knight dude is in this one too for like a couple scenes.
Yeah,
but
like he could be cut out totally and
you
it would
just
mean
cut
nothing
him. Yeah, I honestly, though, I do like the second one better than this, but we'll get to that. But I do think that you could watch this one as a better continuation of the first one and just, like, not watch the second one. Because it just is, like, more, it just feels, like, more in tandem with the first one. But the synopsis here, and sorry, film_fan, Mystic 80 had you beat on this one. This was a better synopsis. So do you want to read out the synopsis for Ocean's 13 here?
Sure. Danny Ocean's team of criminals are back and are composing a plan more personal than ever. When ruthless casino owner Willie Bank double-crosses Ruben Tishkoff, causing a heart attack, Danny Ocean vows that he and his team will do anything to bring Willie Bank and everything he's got down. Even if it includes hiring help from one of their own enemies, Terry Benedict.
The fact that Al Pacino plays a character called Willie Bank is a great is a great thing. It's amazing. This one was a little cheaper, actually. I think because the second one they had like so many locations.
Yeah.
So this one is a lot more contained, and so it made a little less, but it was cheaper, so, you know, it all comes out in the wash. Yeah, this one, like I said, we're back at the casinos, having a good time. The cinematography in this one, I think, is actually really good. I think that's, like, one of the better aspects. Like, it's really colorful, I thought.
It's so saturated, though.
It is.
Like, the first, like, 30 minutes, it was, like, the... They just said, all right, let's bump up the saturation to, like, plus 20, please.
It's very 2007, which is when this came... Like, it's very, like... I mean, I think it's even more 2010, which is, I think maybe this movie kind of was predicting a little bit in the stylistic elements. Like,
you think this one ushered in?
Yeah, I just think, like, I don't know, it was maybe a little bit more on the cutting edge of that. I'm kind of glad we're away from it now, but it was a definite, like, shock from coming from the second one and even the first one. Like, wow, this one is really orange. So this one is interesting. Because I like the heist in this one better, obviously, because this one's actually, like,
well
a
thought
heist.
Through, yeah.
I love all the stuff with the slot machines.
Yeah, and like, having the woman win, I think, was funny.
Oh, that was great. All that stuff was great.
I also love, like, rigged casino. I mean, like, all casino games are rigged, but I like that they, like, rigged it.
Rigged to win, though.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny, like, the side scenes of how they, like, set this up, and they had, like, this whole thing with Casey Affleck and Scott Ken where they're, like,
yeah,
down in Mexico, like, protesting.
Just to do the dice. That's so funny.
Yeah, which is just, like, those kind of things in these movies, I think, work really well when they're, you know, fleshed out like that, because I think it really lets the characters shine within the whole, and then they come back and they're, like... you know, all excited that they did this.
Yeah, that the whole thing where the casino is rigged is, like, probably the most fun part of the movie, where they're, like, everyone's excited and they're moving the dice.
Yeah,
and...
I loved when everyone was, like, winning in that, like, what, 3 minutes where the machine was off, and they're like, all right, go! And then it shows, like,
so
all
mad.
The numbers of all the people winning. Like, I thought that was really clever and fun.
Yeah, I also liked, I mean, I'm assuming this is definitely, like, not real, but, like, the security system they had was really cool, and the way they had to work around that. It just, like, really, it's fun to see stories, like, write a problem when it's obvious they've already written the solution.
Yeah.
So it's, like, they come up with the most impossible-seeming issue where it's, like, this is a security system where... it reads faces and it tells when you're cheating. Like, it's, like, so advanced. So it's like they can really go crazy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the heist is cool. I love the heist. Everything else, I don't know. Like, leading up to the heist, I was just really bored in this one, which I was not bored in the second one, even though maybe it wasn't. The pacing was a lot less well done. A lot less well done. So that's where, like, the give and take kind of goes with me, where, like, the second one, the heist obviously isn't as good, but I enjoy it more as a whole. But this one, the heist is much better, but I didn't really like the first two acts at all. Like, I was, like, completely out of it in the first two acts. So I don't know. Maybe you'd have to watch it again, but what did you think about, like, the character? Because a lot of it is the character development in the first two acts.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fine. I wasn't bored at all. I was invested pretty much the whole time, so I didn't have that issue, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever understood what they were doing as well in this one until the heist. So I never, maybe I missed, like, a line, but I didn't know what the Casey Affleck was doing at in Mexico.
Yeah, you must have missed it.
Yeah, it was just, like, I don't know, it was... And I didn't like Al Pacino's character at all. I thought he was kind of like, I mean, because his Willie Banks is a great name. So, I mean, that's great. But just, I don't know, just the whole story wasn't as interesting for me. Like, even though the second one maybe didn't capitalize on the story, I thought the second one had a more interesting kind of setup. But I did like the heist. I think the heist was really good. And probably not as good as the first, but definitely, like, a huge step up from the second in terms of, like, cool, fun, heist-ish action.
Yeah,
and Matt Damon too, like, he has, like, a much bigger role in this one, which is,
well, I read that the second one it was hard because he was, like, doing Bourne stuff at that time, so he didn't even want to be in the second one, and they basically, like, strong-armed him into being in
which
the
is
second kinda, one.
You can kind of see it because he's not in the second one as much as you would expect.
Yeah, well, he wanted them to rewrite the script of the second one to, like, cut him out more, and they were like, nope, sorry, you're going to be in it this much because we want you in it.
I mean, it's really hard to write a sequel without him because he was, like, such a big character in the first
one. Yeah.
Or maybe not in the first one, but they kind of set it up to be like he was like the up and coming guy. And so each movie he kind of has to get more and more responsibility. Even though he kind of messes it up almost in every movie.
Every single one.
Kinda,
yeah.
Like literally everyone, like he never gets it right. But you know, he tries. But I do think this one, like, it has fun too, which is always fun to see. I just love when movies have fun. That's why I love Steven Soderbergh movies a lot of times, because I feel like he's always like just all out for whatever he's trying to do and whatever vision he's aiming for. And he has so many different styles, so it's like you can see so many different things in all of his movies. But whatever he does, he's always like 100% in.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the Oprah scenes?
I thought the Oprah scene was great. I think I knew kind of what was going to happen because I think I've seen like that scene before referenced. But I thought it's so funny. Like... These movies are very funny. I think we haven't mentioned that enough. Because, I mean, they're comedic actors, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It's just like, it's very, very fun. You can tell they probably had a great time with it. But yeah, I think it canonizes more the relationship aspect, you know? I think it's a lot, gives a lot more credence, you know? Yeah. Wait, was this the one too? The third one, right, where he wakes up too early? Or no, that's the second one. And they're drinking the wine on the couch. Oh, yeah. That's great, too. Oh, yeah. They have so many good scenes together. They're really... They have great chemistry.
Yeah,
which is, like,
great.
Really carries the whole movie. They bounce off of each other. They have kind of similar humor, but also, like, just different enough where they're unique. Because I feel like a lot of times with those, it's, like, the same character kind of just, mm-hmm. like... interacting, but they're both different enough that they kind of
I think they're written really well.
Yeah, they're definitely like the highlights of everyone. I mean, everyone has their moments, you know. You have Don Cheadle with like the worst accent ever put to film. That threw me off so much of the first, because I was the first one when he came in, I was like, is he doing an accent here, or is he like got something in his throat? Is he like
I read that he hated it so much, like, after the fact, and, like, asked if he could be not British in the next two, and his agents were, like, or his manager or someone, like, said no. They were like, no, you have to do it.
Yeah, well, how are you going to write that?
Well, like, also, he wasn't even credited in the first movie because he wanted higher billing. And, like, on the title billing, he wanted to be in the title with Matt Damon, George Clooney, and Brad Pitt. And they were like,
what?
No. And they told him no. And so he said if he didn't get the higher billing, then he didn't want to be credited, I guess. I don't know.
What?
I don't know how
that's
accurate
the stupidest
that source
thing
is.
If that's true,
I read
that's
that
so
and
dumb.
I was like, so petty.
Is he not in the credits then?
I don't know, but he was billed in the second two. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he had a higher
that's
billing
so
in
funny.
The second. But I was like,
oh my goodness. I mean, because he's not even like in the top five of the main characters.
No.
Like you'd have Julia Roberts and Andy Garcia would be the next two after those three.
And I would say even some of the other ones, like, were more important than his character, or like,
yeah,
more...
he just like blows a couple things up, or
yeah, like Frank and Ruben, like,
yeah,
he thinks that he's gonna get billed before Elliot Gold. No, thank you.
This guy comes in, like, gonna do his accent, expects to be the fourth billed person in Ocean's 11. Get out of here, Don. That's so funny. So any final thoughts before maybe we can kind of like give our overall thoughts on the trilogy?
Like final thoughts on the third one?
The third one, yeah.
No. I don't think so.
That's the thing with these is, like, they're just, I mean, the second and third obviously have their pros and cons, you know? I don't think there's really much dispute that the first one is, like, far superior. And the other two are, like, you know, if you like the first one, there's some fun stuff to get in each of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's really much dispute where it's just like, yeah, they're fun to watch, you know? Like, they're very, like, crowd-pleaser-type movies, which I feel like we just don't get enough of these days. We don't get enough, like...
Yeah.
And especially now with COVID and everything, like, all these, like, big stars in this room, especially in the second one, going to all these, like, locations in Europe, just feels like a completely different era of film at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, which, I mean, for some is maybe they like, but, you know, I want more. I like movie star movies.
I'll go for some indies,
but, you know, I want to see George Clooney in a tuxedo and Brad Pitt with his, like, frost tips.
Yeah, please.
Why can't we get more of that?
Any day of the week, I'll take it.
Yeah. Let's make it happen. Let's do it. This does obviously have a couple more, like, it has the Ocean's 8 spinoff. I don't know if they're planning on doing more
of those.
But the Ocean's 8 spinoff, I believe it's Sandra Bullock is Danny's sister is how it was what it is.
Yeah.
And obviously everyone knows that did not do well, but neither of us have seen it, so I can't comment too much on the quality.
Yeah, I mean, it has all right ratings.
Probably similar to the second two, you know? Like, it's not like anyone's saying 12 and 13 are masterpieces, so.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume maybe similar quality. So I don't know if they're planning on more. I know that, like, they're not planning on more in this core trilogy, but, you know, I think this is stuff, like, something that they could kind of, like, carry as a brand if maybe a little further. I would like to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, Ocean have that be synonymous with heist in movie stars in, like, this kind of film.
Sure. Why not?
It could be, like, a fun, like, Netflix original kind of thing or something.
Yeah.
That's something I could see definitely happening. Like, ordering, like, three Ocean's movies, you know. Definitely could see that, like, as an announcement on Twitter. Just...
As long
Netflix
as they're
paid
good, you know.
$300 million for Oceans 14, 15, and 16. Like, all right, yep, that makes sense. cool. Anything else before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed them. I'd probably watch all three of them again.
Yeah, I think these are two really good for, like, a family, like, movie, or, like, just watching them with, like, extended family.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing really, like, bad in them that you would have to watch out for, you know? Always trying to look out for, like, good movies that you can watch with your family and not worry when you watch them. And not completely stress out every scene.
Yeah, not be on edge the whole time. Like, one that you can for sit real. Down and watch and be like, all right, I can actually enjoy this because I'm not thinking about what could be coming next.
Yeah, we need more of those. So... You guys can find us wherever you get your podcasts, and you can also find us wherever you get your social media stuff, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just search Secondhand Film Critics, will pop up. We post when we do episodes, we'll post, obviously. Sometimes we'll post little fun memes or jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking we should do some polls recently. I was
some
like,
polls.
We should kind of put up a couple polls sometimes. You know, everyone loves a good poll.
Yeah.
Polls
Who
are fun.
Who is hotter, Brad Pitt or George Clooney?
Brad Pitt is the easy answer.
Interesting.
I mean, it depends on what era of them you're talking about, too. Are we, like, saying in this movie?
Yeah.
Or now? Or
yeah, in
both
the movie.
In their peak?
In the movie. In the movie.
I think it starts out George Clooney, but the lines slowly get closer and closer as the movies progress.
So George Clooney's looks digress between
they
movies?
I mean, I wouldn't say that. Maybe they don't digress as much as Brad Pitt's increase. He's on, like,
okay,
a slower incline, and Brad Pitt is on, like, a steep incline. So, like, slow decline, steep incline. And they eventually end up meeting.
At the plateau where they become one attractive unit. We'll make a poll. We'll make a poll.
The science of Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
So we'll make a poll live Tuesday at 10 a.m. So by the time you're listening to this episode, the poll will be live. We'll leave it up for a few days. And you can
for your favorite you can hot white man, George Clooney or Brad Pitt. What is our next episode? What is coming out next week on Tuesday at 10 a.m.?
We'll be talking about, has the coronavirus killed movie theaters? We did an episode last year around this time at the beginning of the coronavirus. Basically along the lines of, will the coronavirus kill movie theaters? Is it killing movie theaters? And kind of sharing our thoughts on what we think. So we'll go back and see if any of our predictions have come true. this
I
year.
I can't believe that was a year ago. Like, that was
it feels like ages.
In.
It feels like ages. I know. We literally were like,
we were
a few
in.
Weeks in and we're like, oh, let's talk about if this is going to kill movie theaters. Hardy, hardy, har. And
I mean,
now
we
it's
right.
like a yeah. year later and, you know, movie theaters are still a dying breed.
Yeah, I remember I posted like the first like week or two of the pandemic, like, well, if Portrait of a Lady on Fire is the last movie I see in movie theaters, I guess I'm all right with that. But I didn't expect that to be true.
I didn't
think that was going to be a reality. So yeah, stay tuned for our thoughts on that. It should be fun. It will be fun to kind of go back and listen to our very naive selves. Our voices
Before
will be a lot more excited.
What COVID would bring.
We'll be a lot more light and cheery. And now we're just very depressed and
Before we suffered
dying
through.
Inside.
Yeah, and dying. Yeah. Physically dying from COVID.
really unfortunate.
Yeah, maybe we can get into our experiences with it a little bit too. I mean, you haven't had COVID.
Yeah,
but...
right. Well, and you can talk about too about like you've been to some movies and theaters, you know, how that's kind of going and stuff like that. There's a lot to talk about, I think, which is why the episode should be good. There's a lot to like dive into.
Yeah, cool. Well, until next time. I'm Kayla Ocean. I was trying to come up with, like, I didn't have enough time to, like, I was trying to think of something that's not an ocean, but, like, something that it would be, it
Kayla,
would sound similar. Like,
Kayla River.
Yeah, like, something like that. Until next time, I'm not Kayla Creek. Until next time, I'm Kayla Reservoir.
And I'm Noah Pond. And we're your
secondhand
film oceans.
Oh my God.